So, Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you've given us the Bible, Lord. That this is word that can ground us, Lord, and remind us of who you are and who we are in you. Lord, you said that in James, that if this word is engrafted or implanted into our hearts, it's able to save our souls. It's able to rescue us from the things of this world. It is able to bring us into new life. And that when your word is planted in our hearts, Lord, it's an incorruptible seed. It will produce. And that, Lord, when your word is engrafted into our heart, that born again, new creation of God cannot be tainted by this world, cannot sin. That new born again man or woman of God is completely blameless, clean, sanctified, holy, filled with your power, your anointing, and a call. And that call is irreversible. And that you, by your Holy Spirit, through each one of us that are born of your Spirit, Lord, have given us gifts. You've decided to bless us with your power and your anointing. And to each and every one of us, you have placed a gift within us, or multiple gifts, Lord, to use to your glory for your people. So, Lord, I just ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that our hearts be open, that our minds be open, that we can truly be transformed in this moment by your presence and by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to let you know, I don't know if maybe some of you guys got it all figured out already, but to me, you know, Mary, I am just a little bit too loud for myself, if you can just help me out a little bit. For me, when I'm praying, how many of y'all do this? Do you like jump around between Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, Lord, Holy Spirit? You know, I do that too. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? It's just he knows who you're talking to, right? He's not going to fail you for grammar. Just want to let you know that. God is good. Thank you. That's good. There was just a little bit of a ringing there, and it was coming back at me. Okay, so let's talk about some things. How many of y'all are born of the Spirit of God? So you have been born again, correct? So your citizenship is in heaven. So you're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new, correct? Good. Now, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, yes? And he's one spirit with you, correct? Let's look at that, just so that everybody here, because I don't know all of you, and I don't know exactly where your doctrine is at. So, Mary, would you put up 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, I think? And let's look at this. If you have your Bibles out, you can go there and turn. First Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And it goes on to talk about, do you not know that you are the temples of God and that his spirit dwells inside of you? Are you with me on that? So he's talking about don't being connected in idolatry, but to really just realize that the Spirit of God and you have been joined together as one, and he lives as one with you in this body. So this body is to conduct itself worthy of being the habitation of God. Yes? And so then in John 17, just we'll go there real quick and look. John 17, Jesus praying to the Father. I'm going to read 20 through 26. Mary can catch up to me. Oh, she's there already. I do not pray for these alone. He's talking about Jesus praying to the Father for his disciples. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Okay, so he's saying that not just his disciples, but the people that get to hear and hear and then hear and then hear would understand this revelation also. That God is in Jesus in the Father's in Jesus, and they are in us, and we are one together with them. And that God sent Jesus. Verse 22, and you glory, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Okay? So Jesus is making a distinction here for each one of us, that not only is he and the Father in us and we are in them, but God loves us exactly as much as he loved Jesus and continues to love Jesus. So he's really trying to make a point. There's no difference in God's mind or the Lord Jesus' mind that we are anything less than he is. Okay, I need you to really think about this and let this sink in, because the world and a habitual way of life could try to make this untrue to you because of experience or feelings or events that you have lived through. Okay, is this true what Jesus is saying here? Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundations of the world. So now he's transcending time in his declaration of what he's sharing with these people. That this love totally transcends any event, experience, or time frame on this planet. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you. You sent me. 26. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen? Did you ever hear Jesus say, in this Bible, is it printed somewhere, where he said, in the name of Yahweh, demon come out? Do you know anywhere? In the name of Yahweh, sickness leave. You ever seen that happen in the Bible anywhere, read that anywhere? So, what does he mean that I have declared to them your name? I have declared to them your name. We're going to transfer that over to, we can say, Jesus, I have declared to them your name. Now, in the American church, so many of us say, in the name of Jesus. Right? Like a signature at the end of a letter. Don't we? And we believe that that's what we're supposed to do. And I'm not telling you not to do that. But is that what Jesus is saying here? I have declared to them your name. He was the living example of the name of God. He manifested the Father's character, the Father's love, and the Father's gifts to us. He lived that and was the model of God, our Heavenly Father, while he was on the earth. Yes? So now you and I have been given that very same thing, that you and I, regardless of what the world says to us, what the world says about us, what anyone who doesn't have the revelation of who we are in Christ has told us and the way that they interact with us, is not the truth. The truth is that if we are born of God and born of the Spirit, that God's own seed has made us alive on the inside. And that life that now lives on the inside of us is God's very own life growing up in us as us. That we're transferring our identity from who we were before that life of God came into us to the life of God is the only real us. And that's the renewing of our mind and having our identity shift over to being a citizen of heaven, to being one with God, to having the same love of God, the same acceptance of God, the same notoriety in God's eyes as Jesus. There's no difference between you walking on this earth and Jesus walking on this earth. The only thing that can disqualify you is if you don't believe it. Because if you don't believe it, you won't access it. If you don't believe that's who you are, you won't walk in those shoes. You won't speak as he speaks. Are you with me? So, when you are alone with our Father, when you are in your private setting, when you are in your vehicle, wherever it is that you spend time with your Father, and I would encourage you to really get to know your Father, because he has great and mighty plans for you. But you have to spend time with your Father. He is not an estranged Father. We may be wayward children, but he is not an estranged Father. He's a loving and good Father, and he only wants us to succeed and to be blessed, and he's called us, and he's anointed us, and he's given us his name and his spirit of power. He gives us gifts. He has bestowed upon us the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that the glory that Jesus had when he walked on the earth, he gave to us, that he may now have the glory that he had before he walked on the earth would be restored to him. Right? So, all the glory or the power, the authority that Jesus had, he has bestowed it upon us by his Spirit, not our behavior, by his Spirit. So, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, now it's just an identity issue. It really is. Okay? That's all it is after this. Do you believe him? So, I've told you guys this 1,000 times, and I will continue to tell it as long as I have breath, that anything Jesus can do, you can do also. Anything. Anything that you can truly believe will take place. Anything that you say, that you are absolutely convinced on who you are when you say it, will come to pass. But as long as you are a person on the earth, separate from God, that he is somewhere out there and you're here, and there's this division that there's two of us and not one, you removed yourself from being the power of God, the Word of God, and the manifestation of God. Now you are becoming a recipient, or even as bad as a victim. Okay? So We need to believe that what he says is true, that we've been made one spirit with him, that he is in us and we are in him, that we are loved just as much as Jesus was loved, and that everything that Jesus was given on this earth, we've been given also. That takes some spending time with our Heavenly Father in our private time and work out the details of what is blocking me from being able to accept that as my reality. What is it I need that I don't think I have? Okay? So now, when we start acknowledging who he is in us and we start believing him and we start walking in that authority, we will be tested. We will be tested. And we need to be tested, because when you're squeezed is when you're going to see what's really inside of you. What the real you is. Not the you that you have dressed up, cleaned up, made smell nice that you can present to all of us. That person that you present us may not necessarily be the hidden person of your heart. Okay, it might be just the best version of you that you present to us. So the real, what we really believe about ourselves makes all the difference in the world. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit with us, who is the mighty counselor, who is our comforter, who is our guide, who is our teacher, who is the one that sticks closer to us than a brother or a friend. He's the one that walks alongside of us, is with us, is in us, is constantly teaching us the things of God, if we listen to him, right? That still, calm voice. And so we need to quiet ourselves down from time to time and really get to know our Father and let him show us who we are by his standards. Okay? So let's look at some things. Once we can have that established in our hearts, and it doesn't have to be a big labor, it can be a 5-second trip to get there. And it's as easy as this. Lord, forgive me. I've strayed from my relationship with you. I've had my mind being distracted and filled with other things. I ask you, Father, to just restore me to you, that my conscience would be clear, that my mind would be open, that my heart would be free, that I can not only perceive you with me and around me, but your love for me, Lord. Thank you for never turning away from me. I love you, Father. And you can just that quickly just get right back into it. Because remember, he looks at you outside of time. He looks at you outside of the experience of this world. Okay? The devil looks at you according to time. The devil looks at you according to what this flesh is doing. The devil looks at you according to your shortcomings. The devil looks at you according to what you've done wrong or inadequately. God separates the precious from the vile. He looks at you according to who he says you are. He looks at you according to Jesus. He looks at you according to the sacrifice on the cross. That sacrifice was you. It replaced you. And that's how God sees it. The debt is paid. We're clean in his sight. It's not based on our history. It's based on us accepting the gift of who we are by his Spirit. Are you with me? So, now that we have lots of time left, let's look at some verses in the Bible. I want to talk to you about healing. I laid all that foundation so that we can really get set on what's to come. So, we as spiritual beings who have everlasting life, who are the citizens of heaven, ambassadors in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have the ministry of reconciliation, which is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that you and I are the ones that show the world who Jesus is. who our Father is. When they see you, you're the one that manifests his name. That's you. Okay? So we need to make a shift, if we haven't already, from being the one who needs something from God to being the one who is modeling God. And if you're not at that place where we're modeling God, then we need to get back to being unified with God. However you need to do that. Some of you need to fast. Some of you need to pray in the Spirit. Maybe you need to just spend quiet time with him, reading the Bible and getting the verses until the presence of God fills the environment that you're in, until unity is created there. However you need to be reconnected with your spiritual father, your heavenly father. And when that connection is made, then you just groom it and keep it going. Amen? Some of us put on the armor of God to renew our minds onto who we are. And so we go through the pieces of the armor just as a touchstone as to what he's given us. Wherever you're at in your walk, get unified so that then you can model the truth. Are you with me? So Jesus is walking on the earth and he's healing people. The disciples are healing people, especially after Pentecost, right? Paul is healing people, and we see all these examples in the Bible. Okay? God is no respecter of persons. What does that mean when we say he's no respecter of persons? We're all equal in his eyes. We may have different calls. We may have different giftings. We may have different qualities, or we're different parts of the body of Christ. All those variations are very true. However, none of it is more important or more valuable to God than another one is. Okay? It's all of us working together, right? So if we have a project and you two over there are the lead foreman on the project, and then we've got our workers over there, and we've got our managers right here, and then over here we got our financiers that are funding this project. Each one of us have different responsibilities and are doing different parts, but the project, when it's done, all of us get the glory, don't we? It's something that all of us have made happen. The managers are no important than the workers, that are no important than the foremen, that are no important than the financiers. It's all of us working together. So whatever part you do in the body of Christ, that's your part. As big or as little as it is, that's your part. Nobody can do your part. Only you can. Let's look at some verses. I want to use an example of something. So let me just spend my whole time laying ground. Since you're spiritual and you come across somebody who needs to be healed, or there's something in your body that needs to be healed, is it something that is happening to them? Is it who they are? How do you see this thing called sickness, or a fever, or an illness, or deficiency in whatever area that it is? How do you see it when you come across that person, or when you experience it in yourself? The way you see it makes all the difference in the world, because the response that you give by the way you recognize it is going to be the authority that you have in that moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? The way you walk up to it is the way that it's going to respond to you. So, we treat all sickness. When I say all, what do I mean? All. So, am I saying just these sicknesses? All. You treat all sickness like it's a person, or like a demon, if you want to call it that. But you treat all sickness as though it is a life of its own, and it hears you, and it speaks. And I don't mean it speaks in your native tongue. I mean by it manifesting heat, inflammation, pain, whatever it is, that's it speaking. So it not only speaks, it hears. And you need to treat all sickness as though it is a living being, a person. Okay? When you can see it as that, and you see that every single person, everyone, is a victim of that, whatever it is, that it has to go. It has no right on people. According to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stripes that he took covered all sickness and disease. 39 stripes, 39 classifications of sickness and disease. All of it's gone. None of it is allowed. Okay? So when you walk up to that moment, that person may attribute it to not eating correctly, being overtired. It's going around, it's sweeping through the community right now. They're going to have their reasons why it's there. Okay? You need to not pay attention to that. You need to completely ignore that and dismiss it. Okay? The reason they're in that circumstance is because they don't understand yet. That's all. And so you need to have compassion on them to just let them it be what it is. You are coming as a person who is one with God. That your words are his words, and his words are your words. And when you speak his words, he fulfills them. So when you let the Spirit of God, who is one with you, lead you and speak to that moment, because you've been fellowshipping with him, and you're unified with your Father, then when you speak, you're speaking with authority. It doesn't have to have volume, but it does have to have surety. You need to know who you are. Okay? Jesus, remember when Jesus, he went into Peter's house and Peter's mother-in-law was sick? Well, it's a very interesting thing in the Gospels. There's three Gospels that address it, and you know, each one of them is just a slightly different. So I want to look at all three of them, because when you pray for people, you don't have to be bound by what other people do or the way that other people do it. I want you to see that you're free to be led by the Spirit of God, and you need to give yourself permission to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? So, Jesus, in this circumstance, let's look at these. So, let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. We're going to look at 14 and 15. Now we're just speaking about Peter's mother-in-law. Okay? So it says, so he touched her hand and the fever left her. Oh, let's see, where are you at? You're on 14. I'll read yours. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. Verse 15. So he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. So all Jesus did, according to this gospel, was just touch her hand. Okay? So he just touched her hand. She had no responsibility in this at all if somebody was on looking. Okay? Sometimes you just need to touch people, lay hands on them. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. 31. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now, this one built on it a little bit. So now it's not only that he touched her hand, but he touched her hand and he picked her up. Okay? So in this, I would say, have them do something they couldn't do before. That's a good way to find out if the pain has left. Okay? If somebody has a pain in their foot and you're praying for them and their foot hurts, have them walk around a little bit and see if that pain's still there or not. Have them do something they couldn't do before, and you'll be amazed at how just a few steps and it's gone. Sometimes if they just sit there and stay there, they can, in their mind, just keep it going. But if you make them do something different, have them do something that they would know that it's gone if they could do this or that. Have them do it. Same example, different gospel. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 38 and 39. Are you there? Okay. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. Now it says he rebuked the fever. So you could just speak to the problem and make it leave. And you don't have to be right next to the person when it's happening. I got another verse for you. Go to John chapter 4. I'm going to just read a little bit. This is about the nobleman's son that was healed. He had a fever also. So let me just read just a couple of verses here. I'm going to start that the nobleman has already come to him. Okay? Verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." How many of you are so like at that same place, like, man, you know what? You got to get there to get hands laid on them. Somebody's got to touch them so that they can get healed. Not necessarily. In this case, Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." He didn't even ask him who his son was. He didn't ask him what the condition was. The man came to him and said, "You need to come with me now or my son's going to die." He says, "Go home. Your son's going to live." And off they went. And then he said, and the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Is your heart groomed at the place that if somebody speaks a word to you, you believe them? You don't have all these guards and barriers and doubt still clogging your mind and feelings? Or have you been spending enough time with your father that that stuff's been cleared away? And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Now the father knew that it was the same hour which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. So in other words, because of that, this man got not only saved, but he got his whole family saved too. And they all believed in the glory of God. What am I saying by this? That don't, when you're praying for somebody to get healing, or when you're believing for healing yourself, be led by the Spirit of God. What rises up inside of you? What unction comes in you? What inkling comes in you? What inspiration comes in? What idea comes into you when you're setting out to manifest God to the people around you? I know that just, you know, just me saying that, I know it's like such a weight and a burden on so many people, and it doesn't need to be. Okay, I'm only talking to the people in this room right now because I know most of you. All of you out there, I don't know you yet, so I'm not speaking to you, okay? But I'm speaking to these folks in this room. You guys know if you're a man or a woman. That's why I'm only speaking to you. You know if you're a man or a woman, yes? So when you walk into a situation or a circumstance that you meet another person, do you ever doubt your gender? No. Why? Because you're convinced of it, right? Same thing. When you're one with the Lord and He's one with you and His Spirit is in you and you're in Him, you should never ever doubt who you are again. Never. He said He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. That's true. So if any doubt arises in your heart, it's coming from the evil one. It's coming from the spirit of this world. It's coming from demonic stuff. And it does not want you to really excel in the gifting, the anointing, and the power that God has given you to manifest Him in the earth around you. Are you with me? So, when you meet somebody and they're not doing well, truly, they have all these considerations inside of them. Don't let them dissuade you. None of them are too big for God. They might be too big for a natural mind, because a natural mind's been groomed by the pharmacies, the hospitals, the television, the doctors, the people around them, and their past experiences. Okay? All that gets in the psyche of a natural man or woman. We don't have to walk in that. We can walk above that as a citizen of heaven, as one who's with the Lord, who is seated in heavenly places, who, as Colossians says, set their minds on things above and not on the things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3. Right? And we have to really take some time as we pray and thank the Lord on who He is and who we are and what He's done for us, to where that intimacy just envelops us. Because I'm sure that if any of you had the physical Jesus standing right next to you and He put His hand on your shoulder and said, "Rebuke the fever. Tell it to leave." I don't think any of you would lack confidence that the fever would leave. Right? So, is the Holy Spirit just as real to you? Is He? Each one of you, you just get to decide for yourself. Are you the victim, or are you the messenger of God? Are you the ambassador, or are you the recipient? You get to decide, because you stand alone in your closet with the Lord. You stand alone in your personal prayer time with your Father. You stand alone before Jesus at the end of this whole thing. It really is your game. It really is your life. And you get to decide whether you're going to believe Him or not. When He comes back, are you going to be the one that He says, "I find faith here. There's faith in this one. There's faith in this one. There's faith in this one. They believed me." So, I just want to encourage all of you that Father God will never betray you. Never. He'll never let you down. Right? Okay, so we have 11 minutes. Can we do something different? Okay. Let's believe God. Can we do that? Let's believe we actually are who he said we are. Is that all right? Okay, so first we're going to pray for a minute, and then we're going to start speaking out loud. Okay? And then is there anyone here that has sickness in their body or needs healing in their body? Raise your hand. Jessica in the back, Diane Mann in the pink shirt. Anybody else? Mark, good for you, Mark. Anybody else? All right, so after we pray, I want you guys to go around those three people, get around them, and we're going to speak over their circumstances. We're going to model our Heavenly Father. We're going to let God manifest through us for them, okay? So first, let's pray. Everybody sit down. Oh, you are. Good. For those of you that are watching, get comfortable. If you're driving, do not close your eyes. Okay? So I want all of you just to focus for a minute. Let's give our Father our attention. So now wherever you are, we're going to go into our secret place. That means that's my place with him. Doesn't matter how close the person is next to you. We're just going to tune them out for a moment. And we're just going to move from beyond being in this room to being in the presence of our Father. So Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we lay aside the weights and the chains, the sins that so easily ensnare us, Lord. We're just setting that all aside for this moment. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you. We thank you for giving us Jesus. We thank you that you prepared a way for our sins to be forgiven us and that we can be made one with you. That we've been restored to our rightful position as your sons and daughters. Father, I just acknowledge you that we're your workmanship. We're created for your glory. That our purpose is to manifest you in this world, to bring the world into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, any sin that we've been wearing before we came into this room, we just lay it down at your feet. Any burdens, we lay them down at your feet. Any worries or concerns, we just lay them down at your feet, Lord. And Lord, we present ourselves to you as your son and daughter. Take us as we are, Father. Father, that your love would fill us, that we would receive your full love as Jesus did. That we would be fully accepted in your sight. Nothing that could separate us from your love, Father, from your acceptance. Father, that we bring you joy by being with you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we desire to model you in the world around us. We desire to bring glory to you. We desire to speak boldly and to have courage and to manifest you in the world around us. With all the pressures of this world, all the things that are going on, Lord, I ask that you manifest yourself through us by your Holy Spirit to raise us above all circumstances and all events. That when we speak your word in your name as you. That we are your ambassadors, Lord. That we stand there in your stead in that very moment. And it's not by ourselves. It's not in our own name. It's not in our own power or authority. We lay all that down and we come as you in these circumstances, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you as being one with us, that you are the power of God, that you are the one who sanctifies and redeems us. And we yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. Lord, what would you want to speak to us in this moment? Each one of you, listen and let him talk to you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we desire intimacy with you, true communion, that Father, as we walk in our day, that we walk in joint fellowship with you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that as we move and breathe and have our being, that you, one with us, manifest yourself in the world around us. Holy Spirit, remind us. Train us to keep our minds set on you. Because when we keep our minds set on you, we have perfect peace. I thank you for that, Lord. Father, we're going to pray for those in this room. And we're going to speak your words, Lord. And it is our desire to glorify you in all that we do. And I thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, are you ready? If you can, stand up. Let's change our position a little bit. Let's move around a little bit. All right, let's use our voice a little bit now. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to change the atmosphere in the room. Are you with me now? So let's start speaking out loud. Now, do your best to not say what the person next to you is saying. Do your best not to repeat what you hear somebody else say. I want it to come up out of your heart. And now I want these bricks to actually bow out as we shout it out, okay? And I want you to just take a minute and tell God who he is. All right? However it comes out of your heart, but I'd like you to just stir yourself up a little bit and use some enthusiasm. Okay? So I'm going to turn off my microphone so that I can do it too. And you people that are watching online, you do it too. This isn't a spectator sport. This is where each one of us declares who our Heavenly Father is, who the Lord Jesus, who the Holy Spirit is, who God is to you. Are you ready? Go. God is good. Amen. All the time. I want to let you know, none of those bricks moved. So I think you were speaking loudly on the inside, huh? That's okay. Praise the Lord. There's no test and there's no grade. It's about each one of us. So I just want you to just say this with me. Lord, I'm anointed. You decided that I would be anointed. You decided to give your gifts to me. I willingly receive them. I receive you, Holy Spirit, to manifest through me into the lives of the people around me. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for telling the truth. And thank you for using me. I give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.